This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
I want to talk to the ones of you that are what I call the anchor of the church. You are the senior citizens. Now, that number goes all over, but I'm not insulting you, but when the Bible talks about those that are elders, it is referring to those that are no longer of age to serve in the tabernacle. That is the age of 50. So when the Bible uses the term an aged man or an elder, that's what it's referring to. So when I say that you don't have to giggle tonight, I'm going to use all this interchangeably, but I am referring to those of you that have less of that 70 left than those that are maybe halfway or less. So tonight I want to talk to you, and I'm going to put a lot of stuff up for you on the power of senior citizens. The power of senior citizens in Luke chapter number 2. And I'm not just talking about those of you that are 65 and older. Remember, when the Bible discusses, and this is the way it would work in the Bible. If a man was a Levite, a man that was a Levite was from the age of 30. He began serving at 30 years old. And he ended his service in the tabernacle that we've been studying. He ended that at 50. Now, what did he do at the age of 50? He didn't retire. There are no golf courses in heaven. Or in Israel. What did he do? There ain't none in heaven either. So all of you that go golfing on Friday, I can't help you. There'll be no back nines in heaven. You know why? Because there are no backsliders in heaven, and no man or woman has ever gone to a golf course that didn't backslide at least one time. Now, is that true? I have no idea. There's no Bible on that. But when a man would hit 50, what he would do is he would become an elder. And those elders would sit at the city gate of the city, and there they would become the ruling head of that town. Therefore, when anybody had a question about anything in that town, whether spiritual, moral, legal, they would go to the elders of the town. I think it was the year that you went, I took you to the gates of Dan. And there I sat you there at the gates of Dan. And there was a gate. Do you remember in the book of Job? The Bible says that Job sat at the gates with those three friends or those four friends. That's where they would go. It was the place where the wise men sat. So the point of what I'm getting at is in the Bible that God likens elders or elderly people not to 90 and 100. It's people that are 50 and above. It has nothing to do with your age. It has everything to do with your experience. And that is the point of what God is wanting to get at. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 25. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture, in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Now, I want some of you older people to want to let that be the desire of what you want, that he was just, devout, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Bible says in verse 26, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and he blessed the Lord and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace." You know what he was saying? "Lord, I'm ready to go. I've seen God face to face. Take me home." The Bible says in verse number 30, For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he goes down and look in verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. You read in chapter number 2 of the book of Luke, you read the events surrounding the period of 2 months when Jesus is born. When a child is born in Israel, there was a specific custom that had to be kept in order for the law to be observed. Here's how it would work. When a child was born, if it was a male child, 8 days after his birth, he had to be circumcised. That is what Jesus says happened in chapter number 20, chapter 2, verse 21. 8 days after he's born, he's circumcised. Now, if it was a male child born, that woman, if you've ever given birth, ladies, you know there is a healing process that takes place in your body where your body is reproducing and reorganizing itself. It's reproducing hormones and it's restructuring the body. The Bible says that if a male child was born, then that woman was impure for 40 days. Now, why would the Bible say she's impure? Because her body is healing. There's a lot of things that are going on. But there's also a time there where when a woman was impure, she was not allowed to do or to touch anything. It was God giving that woman the ability to heal. If it was a male child born, she was impure for 40 days. If a female was born, she was impure for 80 days. Why the difference? I'm not 100% sure. I really don't know. All I know is that God said this is the way it ought to be. Somebody said, and it's not in a commentary, I'm pretty much making it up as I'm talking, probably because God knew how much trouble girls were, and therefore the mama was going to need extra rest. Now, that's not in the Bible, so don't believe that, but I am telling you that God did set a difference. So Mary goes 8 days after Jesus is born, and they circumcise the Lord. And then 40 days after that she has Jesus, she goes to Jerusalem to cleanse and to offer the sacrifices to make her pure again. Now, if a child, the third custom was, if a child was the firstborn, it had to be taken to Jerusalem and laid on the altar and given as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to God. As the firstborn, which had opened the matrix, the Bible says, or the womb, that child belonged wholly and totally and completely to God. So Mary and Joseph take the Lord Jesus, and they've got him in their arms, and they're walking up to Jerusalem, and they walk up the southern steps of the Temple Mount, and they go into the outer court, which is the outer court known as the Court of the Women. And there in that court, the book of Luke chapter 2 tells us they have two interactions with two different people. One we read about, and his name was Simeon. Another we read about, it's with a woman whose name was Anna. And both of these people, we find that both of these people are elderly people. We find that both of these people have been promised by God that they would see the Lord. They've been promised by God that they would not die before they saw the Messiah. And there they come. Now here's what we're going to find in just a second. We're going to find in just a second that as Jesus is coming up the road from the Kidron Valley and making his way up the southern steps, the Bible says in what we read that God speaks to Simeon and said, go to the temple. And when Simeon goes to the temple, right as he's walking this way, in Jesus walks with his parents that way. God has a funny way of making the people that will surrender to him, making their paths cross with God's divine purpose for your life. People tell me all the time, they say, preacher, I don't want to miss God's will. It's very simple to just stay in God's will. Stay humble and obedient, and you cannot miss the will of God. How do I know? Because if you'll obey God, stay humble, and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, God will make it so evident and clear that you can't miss it. People tell me all the time, but preacher, I'm not as smart as other people. Here's what God does for his stupid children. For those of us that are a little more hard-headed than the rest of us, here's what he'll do. He'll make it so obvious by closing doors and giving you only one way to walk. You'll know you've got God's will when you say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want and I'll go wherever you want. That's how you know you're in the will of God. And so Simeon walks in, and the Holy Ghost tells Simeon, as soon as he sees Mary and Joseph with that little 40-day-old baby, that's him. Now here's what you're going to find. We've got two people, Simeon and Anna. Both of them get to see Jesus by divine appointment. Now I want you to write that somewhere, and you need to put it like this. Lord, I believe in divine appointment. I believe in divine appointments. Here's what that means. I know we're in 2020 and theology tells us that it doesn't work that way. But I'm telling you, I've done been down the road too far and I've been in this thing too long. If you'll surrender yourself to God and obey God, God will put you in the right path to meet the right people at the right time. We call those divine appointments. I like that phrase, divine appointments. Appointments. I believe in divine appointments. And Joseph and Mary have one with Simeon, and then they get the baby back from Simeon after he blessed them, and they go a little bit further, and there's another lady named Anna, and it happens again. Now, I may preach on this next week. They're both old, but Anna is a widow. God gives a privilege to two old people that he doesn't give to anybody else. He didn't let the high priest hold Jesus. He didn't let the priest hold Jesus. He didn't let the scoffers hold Jesus. Two old people that had been faithful to God held the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what that tells me? When God preserves an entire chapter and in a intersection or a reaction or whatever the word is with two old people in Christ, there is something special that God thinks about senior citizens and elders. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what you're going to find. In a nation where old people are revered and heeded, there is great blessing and longevity. But in a culture where old people are cursed and abused, that culture never lasts a long time. Let me give you an illustration. Right now, in the Far East, in China and Japan, you have two empires, two nations that have been in consistent holding of their land for almost 1,800 years. There has never been an invader that was not Eastern or Oriental that held those lands. Why? Because here is one thing you'll find that the Chinese people and the Japanese people have in common. They both reverence and respect old people. They reverence and respect their senior citizens. But yet you'll find in a culture that hates their old people and doesn't listen to their old people, there is nothing but cursing. I'll give you a Bible example of that. Do you remember King Solomon had a son whose name was Rehoboam? And Rehoboam becomes a king after the death of his father Solomon. And the people come to him and they say, Rehoboam, we'll serve you, but you got to let us off of these taxes. You got to quit making us work in the rock quarries. And Rehoboam says, give me a couple of days to think about it. And he consults with two people. He consults with the old people and he consults with the young people. And the old people say, Rehoboam, it'll be fine. Let them off of this burden. Take your taxes off of them. And the young people said, if your father struck them with whips, you strike them with scorpion tails. He said, lock down on them. Clamp down on them. And the Bible makes the strangest statement. It says that he heeded the advice of the young people and he ignored the advice of the old people. And when Rehoboam did that, the very next passage. You know what it says? And God rent the kingdom in half. There was a split in the nation of Israel when the advice of young people was heeded. Ladies and gentlemen, what is going on in our nation? One reason why I know that what's happening in our nation is not right is because it's not the old people leading it. It is the young people. Can I tell you how we know the American Revolution was set up by God? Because it was older adults. It was seasoned men and women that would stand up and would lead us out from King George. Men like George Washington were in their middle ages. Men like John Adams were learning from men like George Washington. Men like Patrick Henry were standing. You've got to understand, you'll never find, now you may have a different opinion, but I'll hit you with facts. You'll never find one revolution that ever stood for right and good that was led by young people. Do you know why? That's not how God operates. That's not how God operates. Brothers and sisters, it's a problem in a nation, but it's a problem in a church. I'm finding that something clicked. I don't know what it was, but something happened in the mid-1990s. And churches began, in an effort to keep young people, they tried to get young people, but in an effort to get young people, they alienated the old people. Time out. Now I'm going to blow some theology and church growth mechanisms right out of the water. Are you ready? When a church is trying to grow, they should not seek any people. They shouldn't seek old people, and they shouldn't seek young people. They should seek Jesus and let Jesus bring the people in. You don't go after young people and try to appeal to young people, and you don't try to appeal to old people and get old people. You say, Lord, show me your direction, show me your will, show me your message, and this is what you'll find. If you'll seek Jesus and preach the word of God, you'll get young sheep that come in, you'll get old sheep that come in, you'll get good sheep that come in, you'll get feeble sheep that come in, but you'll get sheep if you don't seek people, but you seek God. And here's the problem. The problem with seeking after young people is you cannot build a church building it on young people. Now, you know you can't build a church appealing to old people because once they're dead and gone, but here's the problem. If we're ever going to see revival, I promise you this, the old people are going to have to get locked back in. The old people, you all that are here tonight, and remember what I said, when I say old, I'm using what the Bible says as an elder. I'm not saying it derogatorily. I'm telling you, the anchor of the church, you senior citizens, are going to have to get locked back in. Here is why. Because God uses elders, God uses seniors to be the anchor of the church. And here's what's happened. Because senior citizens have been pushed out of the church and were trying to appeal to young people and trying to appeal to children, they've been kindly put on the sideline and they feel like they have no purpose and they feel like they have no job in the church. And all the stuff goes to young people and all the things go to young people. And you've got seniors that will go on the sideline and they feel like all I do is I give money and that's all I do. And when a person or a group of people feel like the only thing they can contribute is their billfold, I guarantee you every time they'll stop giving and ultimately will flicker out of the church. Now I'm just telling you all the truth tonight. I'm telling you how churches operate. When pastors change the way they dress and change what they read and the versions of the Bible that they preach and the music that they sing in order to get young people, let me help you. You will neither get young people, keep young people, or help old people. Do you know why? Because you cannot build a church seeking anybody on this earth. You have to seek Christ. Listen to me. I want to talk to you that are elders in this room. I know I'm your pastor. I'm old. I'm young enough to be some of your grandchildren. I'm young enough to be some of your children. I understand that. But you listen to me now. I know it's not by something I've done. I know God called me. I know God's put his anointing on me. And I know God, I know I'm God's man. I got that. So I want you to hear what I say. Not as somebody that could be your grandson, not as somebody that could be your son, but as the emissary of God that has come to you to encourage you tonight, as your pastor. Not tonight as just little Tyler that you used to change his diapers. I'm talking to you tonight as the preacher. I'm talking to you tonight as God's ambassador. You hear me. I want every one of you that are here tonight that raised your hand while ago, you matter. Matter in this church. You matter in this assembly. And if God is ever going to take us to the level of revival that I believe is coming in the next several years, you all are going to have to get plugged back in. Not just a matter of coming. I'm talking about getting plugged back in. Plugged back in and the things I'm going to give you in a second. Do you know why? Because you all that are seniors, you all that are elders, you possess a power that young people do not possess. You possess a power that young people do not have. They will never have it until they are your age. I'm going to look at this scripture and I'm going to give you five things, five pieces of power that you all have that are here tonight. You elders of the church, you all that are on the, what I call the other end of the 3 score and 10, where you say, unless God supernaturally does something, I've already lived half of my time. Those are the ones I'm talking to tonight. You have a fivefold authority with God, a fivefold power that young people do not have. And you belong in this church. I want you in this church. I need you in this church. I gotta have you in this church. I don't want a church full of young people, and I don't want a church full of old people. I want a church full of people that love God, and no matter how old they are, want to serve him till the day they die with wherever they are in their journey. That's what I'm looking. I am not looking for bebop and hoodop. And let me just stop, because we have a lot of preachers that watch us after they get done with church. Let me help you preachers with something. Which camera am I on, Michael? Am I on the top one or the bottom one? All right. Let me look at you right quick. Fellas, stop trying to win the approval of young people by trying to look young. You neither look young nor are you winning them. You look stupid. You look like a fool. Get a hold of God. Grab hold of the horns of the altar. Get a word from God, because it'll appeal to young people. It'll appeal to old people. It'll appeal to white people. It'll appeal to black people. Get with God and leave all the schematics to somebody else. Time back in. Brothers and sisters, you have a fivefold authority as the elders of this church. Number one, let's look. You have the authority and the advantage of time. You have the advantage of time. Let's look back, if you will, chapter 2, verse number 25. The Bible says this, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was what? Simeon. Now listen, do you know what the name Simeon means? I'll put it up for you so you can see it. The name Simeon means he who hears. He who listens. He who pays attention. Now here is a question that I've got. What was so different about Simeon? Are you ready? Here's what was so different about Simeon. As an old man, he had time to do nothing but sit and get a word from God. Ladies and gentlemen, the blessed part of being a senior saint, a blessed part of getting on up in age, is you have less things that pull for your time. You have less things that pull at your energy. But here's what the devil will do. The devil will put in you, you're wasting your life. All you're doing is sitting around. All you're doing is doing nothing. All you do every day is get up, sit in that chair, and do nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, no. You've been given a divine privilege by God. when you no longer are being pulled by the world and you've got time, my God in heaven, you've got time to sit down with God and say, Lord, Simeon is here. Somebody that wants to hear what you've got to say is here. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time your family got a word from God? Can I tell you maybe why your family hadn't got a word from God? Because the one that has time to sit down and listen hadn't been listening, because the devil so fills us with guilt and anxiety because we're not contributing to society, because we're not contributing to this and that. You don't need to contribute to society. Honey, you paid enough taxes over the course of your life to build 14 Empire State Buildings. You don't have to contribute to society. We need to contribute to heaven. And you know what you blessed people get to do? You get to say, Lord, I don't have the little crumb snatchers grabbing at my pants. I don't have to go out and get on a slide with somebody. I thought about somebody like Larry. They would tell him, they'd say, man, why all you do is fish. All you do is go out on a boat. All you do is this. Blessed heart, listen to me. What a privilege, Larry, to say, God, all I've got to do today is sit here and listen to you speak. That's all I've got to do today, because when you open up your ear and say, God, all I've got to do is listen to you, you've got the advantage of time. Now, some of you over the last couple of weeks have lost jobs, and the devil has you scurrying, trying to find something else, because he says you need to fill your time. Maybe you've got some of those know-it-all children that are 35 and 40 telling you you need to fill your time. You know what they need to do? Mind their own business. And I want to stop and talk to you. Look, y'all didn't grow up with the people I was around. If I would have told one of my elders what they needed to be doing with their time, I'd have drawn back about four less teeth on the right side. You tell them snot-nosed 40-year-old youngins of yours that all they've got their eyes on are what's in your bank account. If you look at them one good time and tell them to mind their own blessed business, you may not have to worry about them telling you what to do anymore. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you right now, I'm looking forward to the day when the things of this life, look, I love my children. I'm glad my children are young. I love every part of it. But the natural course of life means that they will grow up and they will live their own life and they will go their own way. I look forward to the day when I say, God, all I've got to do for the church, I don't have youngins at my coat sleeves anymore. All I've got to do today, God, is spend time in your presence. Ladies and gentlemen, what a blessed privilege. Here's what y'all to do. You ought to tell the devil he's a liar and tell him to go back to hell tomorrow morning and wake up in the morning, grab you a cup of coffee, go to your little prayer place, wherever that is, and say, Lord, it's just me and you today, and all I'm going to do is give you my entire day. You can have every ounce of it. You can have every second of it. You can have every part of it. All I got to do today is listen, and you watch how God starts speaking. God will reveal stuff to you like you've never. You know why? Because you have the advantage of time. The advantage of time. Number two, Simeon had the advantage of holiness. Simeon had the advantage of holiness. Look at what it says, if you will, in verse number 25. Am I making sense tonight? I'm telling you, this is blessing this fire right out of my soul. Now, verse number 25, look at what it says. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, his name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout. It says two things about him. Number one, it says he was just. Then it says he was devout. That speaks of two things about Simeon's life. Number one, the fact that he was just, that refers to his holy living. That refers to the fact that he'd reached an age in his life when the allure of this world, it no longer appealed to him. My pastor used to tell me, and it's so true, he used to say that there are three stages of life, and the three different sins of life will bother you. When you are a young person, when you are young in your life, the lust of the eyes will get you. You'll be thinking about what you can have. You'll be thinking about what you desire. You'll look at other people and say, I wish I could have that. But then you'll reach that second stage stage of life, and you'll get to the place where it's no longer the lust of the eyes, but it'll be the lust of the flesh, because you've reached the place where you can buy those things and get a hold of those things that you want. Then you'll reach that third part of life where you get to the place where the pride of life, this thing you've built, you're going to do everything in your power to keep it together. But then you're going to reach this place in your life where the things of this world don't matter to you anymore. And the allure of this world, it doesn't matter if you drive a brand new car or a 15-year-old car. It doesn't matter if you've got the finest clothes. I used to remember Preacher Lemons, he'll kill me for saying this, but that'll be fine. He can't catch me. Say amen right there. He used to tell me 100 different times. He'd say, son, he said, when I was a young man, all I could think about was living loose and living wild as a young soldier. He said, now I pray to God my wife doesn't have that glitter in her eye when I go home, because all I want to do is go to bed. You know why? He'll kill me if he heard that. He will absolutely kill me. He used to say that all the time. And he used to look at me, this is what he'd say, Scott. He said, I've reached a point in my life where holiness is no more what I do, but it's what I am. Brothers and sisters, you have to understand. Miss Kim, it's not in the notes. Find me a verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. I read it on Sunday. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. Why is holiness a big deal? Why is holiness a big deal in a church? I want to show you a verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. Follow peace with all men and the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Let me draw you a timeline of the church of Jesus Christ. As the church of Jesus Christ got more and more worldly and more vile and wicked, you know what that also went with? They saw less and less revival. They saw less and less of the movings of God. Can I ask you a question? Why was it that back in yesteryear, you couldn't walk into Old Brightwood Baptist, you couldn't walk into some of these churches around here, and God would hit you when you walked in the parking lot? Do you know why? Because they were little saints of God that had been alone with God all week, and they hadn't been soiled by the world. They hadn't been tainted by the world. They were living right. Man, I've dealt with some of those old saints. I can remember when I was brand new in the faith. There were some of you may have this in your life, a grandmother with this testimony. I've dealt with some of these ladies, and they would say this. They would say, well, you know what? I was married to the same man for such and such amount of years. And I dealt with a woman one time. I'll never forget it. It's what she said. She said, well, my husband left me for another woman, when we had only been married about 6 years, and left me with all the children. And she never remarried. And you know what she said? She said, I just wanted to be married to Jesus. And honey, when she'd walk into church, it was as if the Shekinah glory of God had walked in. Can I tell you why the devil is so pushing senior citizens on social media and senior citizens on television and senior citizens in this world? Do you know why? Because if the elders in the church lose their holiness and the elders in the church lose their walk with God, guess what goes out the door? Any chance to see the Lord come into a service. Listen, young people have a lot of temptations. Young people have a lot of things pulling at them. The older you get, the less of that mess pulls at you. That's why you need to revel in your holiness. You need to be as holy as you can in every aspect of your life. Now watch the second phrase back in our verse in Luke chapter 2. It says Simeon was just and he was what? Devout. Just talks about how holy he was. Devout talks about how faithful he was. I want to tell every person in this room one thing. Your presence in this sanctuary means something to God. It doesn't matter if you just come and sit and listen to God. There's something about when a child of God is faithful, it will bless the church. I can't explain that. I wish I could put that in words, but there is something about I don't know if it just charges a preacher's batteries. I don't know if the Holy Ghost smiles on it. But can you imagine in that temple, thousands of new people, Brother Tim, every single day came in that temple. And the high priest said, I wonder who new will be in the temple today. And one of those priests said, I don't know who will be new here today, but I know who was old's going to be here. Old Simeon's going to be here. How do you know Simeon's coming today? And you know what they'd say? The doors were open, weren't they? And if the doors were open, Simeon's going to be here. Can I give you my third one? Can I give my third one right quickly? I know this is something. I know this is something else. Are you with me? Number three, God's given you the advantage of trust. The advantage of trust. What does that mean? I want to show you something in verse number 26. Watch what it says. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you why older people have an advantage in the church? You ready? Because you've earned God's trust. So He'll share His secrets with you. Can I tell you how I know that? Miss Kim's got a slide. And it's going to show you the Greek word for revealed. It's the Greek word which means to give or to unveil a divine commandment or admonition. Are you ready for this? Can I tell you, some of you have been given the secrets of God about this church. God has shown some of you in this church what this church is going to look like. Do you know how I know that? Because you're elders. And God has shared His secrets with you. Because He's learned to trust you. Some of you, He doesn't do that. But I'm going to tell you what He does to some of you. You as an elder in this church and a senior in this church and somebody that's earned God's trust, there'll be people that come in and want to yoke up with this church. And they just put a bad taste in your spirit. And you know what the devil will tell you to do? He'll say, "Don't, it's none of your business. You shouldn't say anything. Don't tell the preacher." Can I ask you a question? If God didn't want it told, why did He tell you? You're an elder in the church and God has shared His secrets with you. I was at my uncle's body shop last week. We were out there talking. We were messing around. And one of the guys in the shop came in and was talking to me. David said, "Hey, Bob, tell him about your son. Tell him about your son." So Bob was telling me about his son who works at a church. And it's a contemporary church here in town. And I don't even remember the name of it. And I mean, honey, it's a booming church. It was just booming, just contemporary, wide open. Their son worked there. And Bob told me a couple of weeks ago that his son got noticed that they were shutting the church down. Times had gotten hard and it had dried up. You know the problem with young people running and being the heart of the church? They don't know how to stay faithful and earn God's trust. You know what's happened in our church over the course of the last 14 weeks? We probably have lost, I would say, about 20% of people that just don't feel comfortable coming back yet. And then other people just got out. It's just a fact. We've lost probably about 20%. If I were to put the two services together, we'd probably see that was about. Now, we've gained visitors and things like that, but it's been roughly about 20%. You know what our tithes were? She broke this down. We were in staff meeting on Monday, and we went through the computer, and she was showing me this. You know that our tithes for July were almost $10,000 higher this year than they were last year? Do you know why? It's because of elderly people like you. God has learned that He can trust you with resources. And that's why He gives them to you. You can't build a church on young people because young people can't be trusted yet. But you seniors, God's proven you in the fire, and that's why He reveals His heart to you. Does that make sense? Yeah. Let me give you the fourth one. Verse number 33. And I'm going to be done, but I feel like this is going to help some of you. Lord, this is helping me, and I'm not even old yet. My wife says I'm an old soul, so maybe it is. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm aging early. I'm like a fine wine. Enough of you will just make you sick. All right. Can I give you the fourth advantage that seniors have, the power that you possess? You have the advantage of wisdom. You have the advantage of wisdom. Can I show you something in verse number 33? Verse number 33 of chapter 2. Watch what the Bible says. And Joseph and his mother marveled at what he said. They marveled. Here's what happened. Are you ready for this? Simeon did not tell them something God hadn't already told them. You know what he did? God used Simeon's status as an elder to confirm God's will to them. Can I tell you why the church in America of 2020 is so foolish? Because it's run by people with no wisdom, young people. Can I tell you why our Congress is so foolish? Because it's run by people that have never grown up. Can I tell you why the Church of Jesus Christ is so insane? Because there's no wisdom. You younger people that are in here, when you have a problem in your home or in your marriage, the last people you ought to go to is somebody that's in the same boat with you. The worst thing you can do is go talk to another young couple. Can you imagine? Listen, you don't even know what the conversations sound like of people that come to me. Couples that are my age, they'll call me. I don't know how they get my number. If you people don't stop giving out my number, I'm going to slash your tires in Jesus' name. Dwayne, they'll call me, and this is what they'll say. They'll say, you know, my wife and my kids, she doesn't this or she doesn't do that, or my kids are doing this and we're dealing with that. What do you think I ought to do? And I started saying this. I don't have any idea. I'm dealing with it in my house too. You don't ask people that are in the same boat how to survive a ship. You ask people that have been in that boat and made it through to another boat. Can I tell you what power you all have? You have the power of wisdom. Now here's the problem. Advice unsolicited will be advice unheeded. You young couples, you young people need to take advantage of the vast resources you have here. I'm not just talking about spiritual advice. I'll tell you what I would do if I was a young man, God hadn't called me to preach. If I was wanting to start a business, you know what I'd do? I'd find one of the good godly businessmen and I'd say, I'll buy your lunch if you'll give me 30 minutes of your time. And tell me how to start a business that honors God. Listen, if I wanted to be a successful businesswoman, a self-employed, I don't. God's called me to do this. Why do you think I spend so much time with older preachers? People ask me all the time, you want to hang out? I don't hang out. I don't do a lot of hanging out. I don't hang out. It's not because I don't love you all. I love you till the cows come home. You know why? People my age can't offer me anything that will advance me to where I know God wants me to be. If I was young and if I wanted to start something, I'd find somebody older than me that has done it. And I'd say, I'll give you X if you'll give me 30 minutes of your time. Brothers and sisters that are elderly, we need your wisdom. We need your wisdom. Can I give you the fifth one? That wasn't that good, but this last one is good. And it's going to rock your world. You have the advantage of blessing. You have the advantage of blessing. Now, I'm not talking about goods and money. I'm talking about the ability to bless people. I want to show you, Miss Kim, I want them to see it in verse 34. I want you to look in verse 34 what the Bible says. Watch what it says. He's holding Jesus in his arms. And this is what it says. And Simeon blessed them. What does that mean? There is an art that has been lost in our day. It was lost, I don't know when, I don't know what, but it was lost. And it has to do with the elder's ability to invoke a blessing upon the younger. How many of you have ever heard, now you may not believe this, I don't care, but I've experienced it myself. How many of you have ever been around somebody that can talk fire out of a burn? If a person can talk fire out of a burn, how then does somebody get that gift? It has to be what? It's passed down. And some of you that are Yankees have no idea what we're talking about. That's why the North stays on fire. But you all know what I'm talking about. It has to be passed down. There are certain things that elders are to pass down. And I'm not just talking about wisdom. In the Bible, you will always find old people laying their hands on young people and asking God to bless them. Now, here's a question. I do this every night with my children. I pray with my children every night. I go in and I touch them either on their arm, their leg, or their head. And I say, oh God, I pray a double portion of blessing that you've given me upon them. Because elder people have an ability to pass down a blessing. The old people used to call it passing the mantle. Here's a question. What is the gift God's given you, and who do you have your eyes on to pass it to? Now here's another question. Why are some of you not picking up the mantles that have been dropped over time? Listen, I believe in having a Holy Ghost church. You people are way too quiet for me. I'd rather be in a Pentecostal church. But it's not because it's not here. You know what it is? Some of your mothers and fathers were shouters, and you didn't pick up the mantle. I guarantee you the reason that convicts you is because at some point in your mother or father's life, they prayed, God, I pray that blessing on my children. Some of you are battling right now, trying to walk in a direction, and God won't let you go. Do you know why? Because at some point in your parents or grandparents or somebody in the church's life, they prayed a blessing on you that God would take you in another direction. I guarantee you that if there were multiple children in a family. Now, I don't think that falls on preachers. I think that that is a divine calling. I think that that's an anointing God gives. But I guarantee you if there are multiple children in a family, one of those children got the gift that the parent got. Do you know why? Because the parent has an ability. Elders have an ability to bless people. Now here's a question. How does this apply to you? Our teenagers are in Tennessee, or in where are they? Right now they're somewhere in the United States. Here's a question. When you see the kids walking down the hall as an elder in the church, do you look at them and stop and say, God, I pray for that child that you would call them to do and then name it? Do you stop on any, listen, I don't understand it. I don't know how it operates. I don't get it. I don't understand how it works. I wish I did. But there's something about elders that have the ability to provoke a curse or to bring a blessing on a child. If you ever see a child that comes from a broken home, and maybe you came from a broken home, I believe what the Bible teaches about elders is you have the ability to pray and say, God, break the cycle in that child. Break the cycle in that youngin. That is a blessing. That is an ability that young people do not have. So I said all that to say this to people that will watch this message later. If they watch it on TV, I said all that to say this. I'm asking God to let you older people kick back in gear. You are needed in this church. We have to have you. We will not have a church without you. We need everything that God is doing in you. But here's what I'm praying, and I'm praying it in a hard way, and I'm going to be fasting over this in a couple of weeks. I'm praying that some of you will pick up the mantle that your parents dropped. I'm begging God to give it to you.